The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us here at Orange Chamber Business Wise. This is Barbara Martinez from the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. And today, I have Thomas Waddell with me from RBT, and you're CPA, right?
CPA, yes.
I thought it was appropriate to bring you on because, first of all, you wanted to come on the show because WTBQ is awesome. But also because, you know, we have tax season. And you know some stuff about taxes. You know things about fraud. And people that are listening, give them some tips, right?
Okay, you can do that.
We can do that.
So let's just talk about my firm, first of all, okay? In July of 2016, we merged three accounting firms in the Hudson Valley together, Sador & Company, Ruiz & Company, and Vanacore, De Benedictis, De Giovanni, and Waddell merged three accounting firms together. We're 109 professional people at our firm right now, so we're probably one of the larger accounting firms in Hudson Valley.
I heard your name on that last group there.
Yeah.
Vanacore, Benedictus, and Waddell.
Yes.
Is that like your name or was it like your...
No, that's my name. And matter of fact, I've been accused of marrying into the partnership because Vanacore is Italian. The Benedictus is Italian, Di Giovanni. And they say, how did you get there? You're not Italian. So that's not how it was. It was way back when in 1982 when I joined the firm as a partner.
Okay.
So but we merged, and it really was a great event for us to put the three firms together because of the fact of the leverage of the talent and the technologies that we used. So we really broadened our depth of our bench and our technological things that we do at our firm with our clients. So that's really been a really great help. So
okay. So for those of us like me and those that are listening that we don't know what it is that you do for your clients, can you tell us a little bit of exactly what it is that your business does? And, you know, now that you've merged with to create a super group, what does this super group consist of?
Well, okay, so part of the consolidation or merger with the three firms was to really build a deep tax department that really have really... people who specialize like in corporate tax or individual tax, sales tax, excise tax. So being a larger firm enables us to have people that just do that kind of tax. On the accounting side, we do certified audits is what's really a CPA. The only license we get is to really render an opinion on people's financial statements, whether they fairly present the financial position of an organization. So we do certified audits. We do quite a few in the nonprofit world, an awful lot in the governmental side, and a lot of construction and manufacturers in the area here. So we're a full service firm in that respect that we do, you know, auditing and accounting for our clients as and tax work. Now, specialty areas, we do also do forensic work. We do a lot of forensic work where somebody has money stolen or there's money missing or partners think somebody's stealing money or taking more than their fair share, and we go in and we do that. So we have four individuals that strictly just do really forensic work, and it's really become an interesting field, something, and I'm the leader in that area in the forensic side. The other thing that we also do is business valuations, where someone wants to buy a business or sell a business, and they need to know what the value of that business may be. We have people who have certain licenses, specialty licenses, ASAs they're called, that can come in and do a valuation on a business. It not only comes into play when buying and selling, but when partners split up, which they do, when people get divorced, you know, one spouse has a business or the other, they need to know what the value of that business is. So, again, we've seen more of a need for that. Also, in the estate side, when somebody passes away, what's the value for estate purposes and or gifting purposes? If you wanted to gift to your children or to another person an interest in your business, you need to have it valuated for the filing of the gift tax return and estate return. So that has turned out to be something pretty popular. Last year, our business valuation group did 68 corporate valuations, which is an awful lot in this area. Most accounting firms will do one or two a year, but we did 68, so we did quite a bit of that. And the forensic side, we're developing that each year And probably last year we did over 22 cases of interesting, really interesting, where somebody's taking money. You really want to see how to become a thief. You really got to, and now you can hide it from people. It's kind of an interesting field.
So now you guys are like becoming pros.
Well, when you see it and you can say, well, I know where how they did it because they did it this way the last time.
Well, know how to avoid doing it that way. But now, is that, do you guys link up with any type of law enforcement, FBI, local PDs to do white collar crime?
Yes, we're used in some cases by the district attorneys in the area if they have a white-collar crime where they can't figure out quite really what this really all means, and somebody says, well, they took this and they did it this way. They will hire us to come in and evaluate that. And on the defensive side, when somebody's accusing somebody of stealing money, we may be called in to say to prove that they didn't steal the money, so that person may be hiring us to defend them in that way. So we have that in.
So it sounds like you just don't only handle corporate clients, you also handle individuals.
We are, our particular client that we like to handle is a $5 million to $50 million revenue corporate client. That's our ideal client, which those clients have individuals who are owners, so we naturally have to do their individual tax returns.
But someone like me, some random person.
Sure, we would handle
I probably wouldn't
well.
Be able to. Okay. So bigger is what you're saying, is what you guys handle.
Well, the larger entities are more set up to handle what we do for them. And, some tax returns are very simple. They're not very complex, so you don't really need a real deep or experienced person to prepare a return. But the returns we prepare, individuals own, multiple corporations, multiple partnerships, LLCs, and that information and rental properties. And when that occurs, your tax return gets a bit more complicated because of the rules of passive income, earned income, and investment income. So you kind of got three pools of income. You have to separate those, and you have carry forwards and carry backs you can use. And also, it's a little bit more difficult for someone who has a lot of stuff on their tax return versus a very simple individual return.
Okay. So what I'm trying to get at is, so if an individual that's listening to us now, a lot of this wouldn't really apply to them. It would really apply to a bigger corporation.
Well, it would apply to anybody who's incorporated or has formed an LLC to do and form a business and however they're going to do that, yes. And our sweet spot, we're set up to handle the larger corporations or entities. But a lot of individuals that are out there are part of those organizations. Mm-hmm. So,
but you did mention before that you kind of had some information about, tax fraud or, people that are, especially with the IRS scam that's going around. It's been going around for a little while now.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit earlier about that. And I really feel, and I've put this out on Facebook a couple times just to make people aware of, there are impersonators, IRS people who pretend to be IRS agents, which is kind of a lousy way to call somebody up and say, like, I'm from the IRS, my badge number is so-and-so, and you owe me, $1,500, and if you don't pay me the $1,500 right now, I'm going to, somebody's going to go to jail, or we're going to levy all your assets and all that kind of stuff. And that's really not how the IRS operates. The IRS doesn't call you on the phone and say, give me your credit card and you got to pay this right now or you're going to be arrested. So what normally happens in the course of when you owe the IRS money, you'll get at least five letters from them saying that you owe them money and on what tax return you owe them money and for what year you owe them money. You give an ample of time to reply to that. However, if you don't reply to it, then they generally send somebody to come right to your front door, knock on the front door and say, okay, I'm from the IRS, we have to figure out how we're going to get this amount paid. And they also give you a chance at that point even to figure out what year, what the tax is and whether you really truly owe it or not. But what they're doing right now, they're calling people just randomly and they're saying, you owe us money and it's they don't even tell you half the time what tax return it's on. And people are so scared they don't want to owe the IRS anything, and they're ripping out their credit cards and here pay it off right away, and they get a hold of your credit card and they tap it for way more than what's on there, so they go after that. So it's important to not fall prey to that. I've had one where one of my senior clients came in. She's a grandmother, and they said they called her and said her granddaughter owed money, and they were going to put her in jail unless they got her to pay the money. Uh-huh. And she, right away, it's my granddaughter, ended up her credit card and found out, well, they just tapped her $15,000 credit card for a full amount. So all of a sudden, now I owe $15,000. Now, you can dispute a credit card as long as you're aware of it, and you do it in a certain period of time, you can dispute that. But you can see where senior people could, you know, get fooled pretty easily here, that when they call and say that you owe the money, and they get all worried about having to pay that. So just to be aware that that's not normally what happens when the IRS calls. So I've had a lot of fun when they've called my house, and I generally tell them, yeah, you show up on the front door, and I'll give you the money when you show up to the front door. And of course, then they start swearing at you, and they know that they're fake. But I really know that this is something important that people pay attention that that's not the MO of the IRS, that you would have a lot of notices and have a lot of chance to satisfy the lien.
Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't, and you, no one that if this happened to you, you shouldn't feel embarrassed about it, because, I mean, a lot of these people are con artists, so they're savvy. They can trick even the smartest of people over the phone. So the bottom line is, IRS is not going to call you tell them to pay a bill.
And they're not going to call you to tell you that you pay. If they call you, they're not going to tell you to pay it right then and there. They're going to send you something in writing. If they're willing to send you something in writing, and they're going to mail that to you, and that you have a chance to respond to it, that's really the normal case. A funny story with that, they called one day and they got a hold of my wife, and they told her that she owed $15,000. So, of course, my wife called me right away and said, all right, what did you do? We owe $15,000. I said, we don't owe nobody no money on the IRS. And she goes, no, they were serious. I said, well, I hope you didn't give them any information. Yeah, I told them to call you. And, naturally, I haven't gotten a phone call. But she really thought for sure I did something wrong. I said, my own wife.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to touch more on that, because I know people are very interested in scam and IRS fraud. You've been listening to Orange County Chamber Business Wise. This is Barbara Martinez, and we'll be right back.
Frank and Valentina invite you and your family and friends to the finest dining in the Hudson Valley, Silvio's Italian Villa. Choose a table by the cozy fireplace in a romantic setting, or one of their charming dining rooms, and feast on a bounty of Silvio's delectable dishes. Come to Silvio's elegant, restored 18th century mansion and experience their passionate commitment to authentic Italian cuisine and American fare. Silvio's Italian Villa also offers first-rate catering designed for your elegant wedding, private party, and they will accommodate your meetings. Enjoy the live music and the dance floor in their spacious lounge and bar. Come join their family at Silvio's Italian Villa at 274 Route 94 South in Warwick, or call for a reservation at 845-987-1500. Grazie. Buon appetito.
State Farm, located in the Clock Tower on Main Street in Warwick, providing auto, life, home, and business insurance, as well as banking and retirement planning for your personal and business needs. For a free quote, call 986-7100, stop in, or visit us at warwickinns.com.
That is the sound of a Florida bobcat. But sometimes the sound is not strong like this. It is tiny and weak because a Florida bobcat mother has been killed by a car or hunter, and her young kittens are orphaned. Unfortunately, this is happening more and more often. When orphaned kittens are found, they come to Big Cat Rescue to be raised, taught to hunt, and returned to the wild as young adults. With orphans increasing, Big Cat Rescue needs to expand its rehab facility. You can help raise these little orphan bobcats by taking just a minute to vote in an online contest offered by the Valspar PGA Tournament held at the fabulous Innisbrook Resort. Big Cat Rescue can win as much as $50,000 to fund the larger rehab facility. Just go to bigcatrescue.org/contest. That's bigcatrescue.org/contest. The little kittens thank you.
This was a great idea, Nance. We haven't gone out together in ages.
I know. Besides, it was your turn to buy lunch. Actually, with all the birthdays, anniversaries, and weddings that I have to shop for, believe it or not, I am almost done.
Wait, what? How did you manage with that crazy schedule of yours?
It's easy. I went to localflavor.com, and my shopping practically took care of itself.
Localflavor.com?
Yep. I saved a bundle on everything I bought, and it was a lot. I also saved a ton on all kinds of restaurants, spas, salons, gift cards, and I only got through a small part of localflavor.com.
Tell me more.
Well, you know the great deals in Clipper magazine?
Sure.
They're all at localflavor.com too, and it's even easier with their app. Here, take a look.
Wow, those are some of my favorite places. Look, there's even a special deal for this restaurant.
Well, next time you can buy both of us lunch for the price of one.
Now you tell me.
Save every day at localflavor.com on your phone with the localflavor.com app or in your Clipper magazine.
This is Zach Kruk of WTBQ Radio. Keep up to date with all your local news every weekday on the Frank Truett Morning Show right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ. And we're back with Orange Chamber Business Wise. This is Barbara Martinez at the from the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. I was going to say something else. And I've been speaking with Thomas Waddell from RBT.
CPAs, yeah.
CPAs. We've been talking about fraud. And although it is a kind of a sore subject for a lot of people that have been taken in. It is something, a topic that people do like to talk about. They love to hear about these fraud stories and these scams because it almost makes them feel like now, because they know the things that are happening out there, they're now empowered and they're ready in case somebody tries it with them. So let's give it a little bit more on this fraud. I like the stories you were telling us.
But one of the other types of frauds that have come out in the last, I'm going to say probably 8 weeks, is people calling saying they're from their HR department and they need additional information from them, where they're asking, you know, I need to update your file. I need to, you know, and they go right through the whole thing. Give me your name, your address. Okay, if you're married, you're not married. What's your birthday? And then they get into your Social Security number. And you think they're really from your HR department and you're giving out all this information. And again, that's just to beware of that. That's happening as well. That you really, when somebody calls and starts asking that information, if you don't know who they are and really understand who they are, you shouldn't be giving that information out over the telephone or even in an email. There's several times when there's people who pretend to be somebody else, okay, and they're asking for we need to update your files. I've seen one from like the bank. Somebody says, we're just reviewing our files and we wanted to update a few things, so we need to, you know, have all your information. And you start going in and you put your username and your password in, and then all of a sudden you've given that information to somebody mm-hmm. else to get into your account. And in the banking world, when you've given your user ID and your password away, okay, the bank is no longer responsible once you've voluntarily given that to somebody else, even though somebody frauded you. So the bank can really step away from that and say, that wasn't my fault that they took the money out of your account. You gave that information away. I do like the technology that every day you can go in and check your bank account, and every day you can go in and check your credit cards to see if somebody is committing fraud or is taking money out of your accounts. And to me, that's very important, is that I physically every day when I flip my computer on, it pops up automatically. It automatically goes to my bank accounts. I put in my username and password, and I can see what's happening. And next it rolls into my credit card so I can see what's mm-hmm. going on there. The good thing about that is my wife can never buy me a Christmas present or something like that without me knowing at least where it came from,
because I can say that. That's boring.
But you can really check your accounts to see if there's something in there that shouldn't be in there. And again, since 2000, they call it Check 21, is that you really have a limited amount of time you can correct things with the bank. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you're waiting to get your paper copy of your bank financial statement, you're going to wait. It's already too late if you found that somebody took money out of your account. Mm-hmm. So being able to go online on a daily basis or at least on a weekly basis and say, wait, that's not mine, you can call the bank and notify them. Then it's in their ballpark. It's not in your ballpark. They have to give you back the money and try to figure out how it got through their system. So it's really important to do that. So I would encourage anybody that could really go review their credit cards and review their bank statements online so that you can see what's happening. Mm-hmm. If anybody, and again, we've seen this with a lot of our clients. You send somebody a check, they have all the information they really need off of to get into your account.
Check,
they got the routing number, they got the account
still uses
number.
Checks out there. Who does that?
Okay. Well, but some people only accept checks at this point. So, but So if they get your checking account number and your routing number, they can go right in and get your password. So we've seen people make fake checks. That's even happened at my office where they've come in and they've even had a very close facsimile of my signature on the bottom of the check. And there was like three of them for $5,000 each to try to hit my account within, I'm going to say, 72 hours. They kept sending. One came from California, one came from Dallas, Texas, and one came from Chicago. Okay, and they said it. But of course, my controller looks at the account every day and say, where'd these $5,000 checks come from? They're not ours. So we were able to stop it. But being aware of that, you can go online and really check it, and you should. Mm-hmm. You can prevent a lot of that happening to you because it's very.
I'm guilty of not checking my account, but that's because I don't want to cry every day. So I just leave it alone.
Okay. Well,
jokes on them if they try to defraud me.
Well, the sooner you see something, whether it's on a credit card or something, and notify them the safer you are. And that's what I really like about the technology today. You can get into it very quickly and easily to see what's going on within your account.
There's also other safeguards when you go into I'm no expert on this, but I know there are safeguards that you can look at when you are on the computer that either has a padlock or something that kind of shows authentication of the site that you're going into. And that's, something that I think that older people should be kind of trained on. You know, they go through these fraud seminars, and I don't know if they touch on that. I know you said you've given fraud seminars before. Right. Have you ever touched on the SSL authentication that people should be looking at when they get one of these emails from a bank? And they click on that link, and you can see right away that it's kind of not a really secure network.
Well, actually, you should not be getting an email from your bank or from any institution mm-hmm. that really requires you to log on from their email.
Right.
Okay, you should be going out, and you should be logging on to the bank, that you use.
Right, but it does happen where people will get an email saying, something's wrong with your account, we need you to log on.
And those things, when that happens, you don't go through that email. You get out of that email and you go onto the website directly and try to figure out whether it's really for real or not. The most cases, the banks do not send you that. Mm. Okay, so to me, when I get that, it's just delete. When I get something from the banks, it's just delete the thing. And if there's really a question, I'll read it and I'll say, well, that doesn't make any sense. And I'll go look on myself. But you need to get out of that email and go on to the website directly from logging into the internet and that it's the secure program that's there. And they do have seals that say they're real, but even people can fake the seals.
Yeah.
So that's today. You just need to be really conscious that there's people out there that do try to scam you on that stuff. So.
Now, going back to the IRS scam, what do you think has caused a rise in that? Do you think maybe is it because a lot of people are now using a lot of that, online services to prepare their own taxes, and because they don't really know what they're doing, they would believe, or it's easier for them to believe that they made a mistake?
Well, I think that why the IRS is being used over anything else is that you have to pay your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you don't have to pay your electric bill. You don't have to pay your medical bill. You don't have to pay them. You could wait for a long, long period of time. But the IRS, pretty much, they're going to come after you after a certain amount of time. And you're going to end up having to pay them something and or they're going to levy your accounts. So, or lien assets. So you have to be aware that somebody's using that because they know you have to pay that bill. It's not a bill that you can just put on ice and say, all right, I'll worry about it in a couple months from now, I'm paying it. IRS is going to. So people are more nervous with the IRS. So that was just something that they could say, well, people are naturally scared of the IRS. But they're not scared of your local vendor that says, oh, you stole me money. Okay. They're not that scared of them.
That's true. Yeah, so, I guess there is this very real fear of,
of the IRS.
IRS. Scary people. So now you said you have done fraud seminars before.
Yes, yes. We do fraud seminars for business people, okay, and we've done them for chambers, okay. We do them so for business people to really learn how to protect themselves and show them what we've seen, okay? And, every time I go in a fraud case and they say, we don't know who stole the money, I say, who's been the employee here that's been the longest? And they tell me, and I say, who's the most trusted employee? It's generally the same person, been there the longest. Okay, let's start with that person because that's the person I believe stole the money.
Darn.
They look at me and they say, no, it's not possible. It couldn't have been that person.
It couldn't have been Bob.
You gave them all the keys to the kingdom. Yeah, look, they're the only one with all the keys. Look, you've given them all. You've trusted them for so long. And generally, that's the person who is the obvious person. Sometimes it's not, but most of the time it's the person that, you know, that's been really, there's no controls. There's no, like, somebody else looking over that person's shoulder. Oh, we trust them. He's been here a long time. He, you know, has it.
They have, like, carte blanche. They got a free check. A blank check to do the things that they do.
In one case, we even had an owner whose bookkeeper was with him for probably 22 years. And he said to her when he was away on vacation and some bill had to be paid, and he said he told her just to sign his name to the check. And she signed his name to the check, and the check cleared the bank. So she put two and two together and figured out, well, when he's not here, I can write checks. And she started writing checks and signing his name, and they all cleared the bank. And, you know, he never even thought to even look and check or anything. We come to the year end, doing his year end, and we started asking, well, what's all these checks to you for? When you start doing this stuff? And he said, well, there's no checks to me. Yeah, here's all these checks to you. They're not my checks. That's not my signature. Whose signature is it? I don't know. Somebody's making fraud in checks. Well, we figured out who it was his bookkeeper. And he really taught her how to do it. He just said, sign the check and let it go. And then she said, oh, this will work. So it worked for him. The same with a cash business. Very interesting, where the owner, you know, like sells something and he puts money in his pocket, okay, and says, all right, don't ring that up, okay, and puts the money in his pocket. Mm-hmm. The person working there says, hey, look at that. He's putting money in his pocket, not ringing it up. He's never going to know how much is really supposed to be in this drawer. So, again, the owner taught the person how to steal money right in front of them by, you know, I'm taking care. So a lot of times it is the owner's fault. But these are little things that we kind of, when we do the seminar, we kind of point out these are the ways that, you know, you got to be careful of so you don't get, you know, somebody steal stuff off of you. So,
that's amazing. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a little break. When we get back, we're going to talk some more about, I guess, scams and fraud. Thank you. This is Orange Chamber Business Wise, and we'll be right back.
Italian style beef vegetable soup. From the kitchen table in New York City, I'm Rachel Ray, and this is Rach on the radio. This is one delicious and nutritious souped up supper.
We start with olive oil in the bottom of our soup pot and brown the beef. Now we're going to add in some peppers and onions and celery. So now we're going to add a lot of garlic, everything like shapes and sizes, down to the pool. And then we're going to add one 14-ounce can of tomato and stock in a box. You're going to add an herb bundle. The last couple of minutes before you're serving, take a little handful of fresh green beans, cut them into thirds, and you're going to put these in just before you're ready to serve so they're nice and tender, crisp. Oh, what a soup.
For this recipe and more food tips, go to RachelRayShow.com. Monday, my drunken chicken from the kitchen table in New York City. I'm Rachel Ray.
Allergy congestion. Cut grass. Cat on the sofa. Dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful decongestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Another breakout? Today? Really? Oh, it's not that bad, they say. I can barely see it. But yeah, right. Get real. It's time for this to end. Thanks to my new Biore Charcoal Acne Scrub with natural charcoal, I can fight even the most annoying breakouts. How? It scrubs out acne causing dirt and oil for clearer skin in 2 days. So peace out, pesky pimples. With Biore, I've finally found the skin of my dreams. Biore, free your pores.
This is Zach Crux, sports director for WTBQ. Tune in every weekday morning to the Frank Truatt Morning Show to get the latest news, scores, and info about your favorite teams and players. That's every Monday through Friday on the Frank Truatt Morning Show, right here on WTBQ.
WTBQ weather.
Sunny skies and still rather cold today, high 35 to maybe near 40 in a few spots. Tonight, clouding over, some light snow arriving overnight, down to 20. Snow in the morning, it'll taper off about midday, may even mix with a little rain, highs in the mid-30s. There'll be another period of snow tomorrow night. There could be some accumulation with these two systems during the daytime and at night. Temperatures will be in the mid-20s, and Sunday, cloudy in the morning, partly sunny later, upper 30s. I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo from the WTBQ Weather Center. WTBQ.
Welcome back to Orange Chamber Business Wise. This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce, and we've been speaking with Thomas Waddell from RBT CPAs. And you used to have a really, really long name, and now you're to RBT. So why don't you tell the listeners, what does RBT stand for?
Well, there's a little bit of a story behind that.
Okay, tell us a story.
So when I started the discussions about the possibility of merging with two other firms, what we did was I first met with the managing partners of those other two firms, and we discussed the possibilities of merging and what would it be like if we, when we were merged, what would happen. And they agreed that this would probably be a better solution for everybody if we did merge. So the next thing is that we did the three managing partners. We invited the partners together, and we just discussed the same thing with our partner group and whether they would buy into it or not. And they all came out and said, yeah, we can see we could be a lot better together than we are all on our own. So that became to the next level. We invited our managers together. And when we had our managers together in the group, we explained to them, and they all said that, yeah, we think this is a real could be a real positive solution to a lot of issues and really build our team a lot stronger. So then we invited our entire teams to the Palatine Club, and we kind of rolled it out for them and told them what we were thinking and, you know, try to get input from them as well. During the early part of the session, one of the younger guys stood up and said, you know, I can really see this. We could be remarkably better together we pull these firms together than what we are individually. And he sat down, and it was kind of the point that we could be a lot better together, mm-hmm. putting our strengths and stuff and being able to do more things. So later on during that day, we just discussed about where the locations would be, and then we got into the name thing because, you know, there's Vanacore, the Benedictus, the Giovanni Waddell, there's Ruiz and Company and Cedar and Company. And as we started talking about it, I said that the only person that's still a partner within the firm is Waddell. So right now that would have only been my name. It really wouldn't. So, and you get into all these funky names, Vanacore, the Benedictus, the Giovanni Waddell, you know, and then where do you put Cedar or where do you put Ruiz? Okay. So we really decided to go with an acronym, like the bigger firms like KPMG, PwC, EY. They all went to just initials to really to put it together. So that same young man stood up and said, well, I was thinking of a good name. How about RBT for Remarkably Better Together? So mm-hmm. that became kind of sort of our mantra right now is that, you know, as a group together, we're remarkably better together than any individual. And even with our clients, we're remarkably better with our clients being together with us as well. So at the end of the day, that's where RBT came from. Now, the New York State Licensing Department mm-hmm. has a lot to say. The New York Education Department actually has a lot to say about it. So it has to be either last names, first name initials, or last name initials. You got options to do that. So we had to figure out whether RBT fit, and fortunately it did fit. So that, and then we were able to get that approved after about 2 months again, going through the name thing and getting it approved. So that way, there's none that you don't really see that there's any other firm that really survived any of the other partners. And going forward, you don't have to ever worry about if a partner were to retire and or a new partner come into the firm. You don't have to worry about changing the name and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So that's where RBT came from, and that's what it stands for. And we'll be better together.
That's pretty cool. Now, you have how many CPAs?
We have 56 CPAs within our firm.
And you're kind of scattered around?
We have an office in Poughkeepsie, and Susan Howe runs that office. We have 21 people in that office. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have... up in Wardsboro, we have 9 people, I believe, up in Wardsboro, and Jonathan Ruiz runs that office. And in Orange County, we have an office in Newburgh, and Mike DeToro kind of runs that office. Okay, that's in Newburgh, and that's our largest office. That's where our tax department, audit departments really reside in that office, and the evaluation and the forensic. But we're so close and really proximity to each other that we share team members with each other across the board. So some people from Newburgh will go to Poughkeepsie when needed. Some people will go to Wardsboro when needed. Mm-hmm. And so we're not really that far from any one of them. So.
And everybody's pretty much kind of still working together to keep it remarkable.
It's really been a great process. It was a great learning process. And, you know, we're in busy season right now. It's tax season.
Well, it is tax season, that dreaded word, taxes.
We're in tax season right now, which is kind of a very interesting, if you're an accountant, you really like busy season because you get to see a lot of the people that you deal with all year round, your clients, and you have more conversations because you get down to their personal returns. You have more personal conversations about their children and about their estate planning and that kind of stuff. So you really get to know your clients really, really, really well.
During tax season. When everybody's the most vulnerable. Help me with my taxes. So let's delve a little bit into tax season, because I know everybody that they have to do their dreaded taxes or get them done. And some people are very excited about their taxes.
Well, most people that are excited about their taxes means one thing. They generally get a big refund at the end of the year. The people who dread it generally mean
have to pay.
So in the months of January and February, those people that come to see us, we know they're all getting refunds because they want to get their return as fast as they can so they get their refund.
I'm one of those people. I get a refund every year, but I'm one of those late people.
Oh, you're one
I
of
wait
those,
till the end. I'm like, I'll do it later.
You procrastinate to the end. And the people we get in March and April are the people who all, and they don't want it. They want to get it close to the end of April 15th as they can. By the way, this year it's April 18th that your tax returns are
due. So it's like three more days?
It's three more days because of the weekend, and then there's a holiday.
How I'm one of those late people?
But the word of advice to you is that if you go to an accountant, to get your return done, don't go in April because everybody's tired in April, and they're probably not going to do their best job for
you. I won't get all my deductions?
No, you probably will, but, it's just that. Again, in our firm, we're very aware of we cut off at April 1st. We finish up what we have. We don't try to keep pushing. We put people, you want me to do your return after April 1st, I'll put you on extension because I want to do the right job. I don't want to run across the finish line. I want to walk across it and make sure I'm thinking about everything. That's really a firm philosophy across the board.
And I think that by that point, you're going, if I see another tax form, ugh.
So we cut off on April 1st. Also, within our firm, we don't let anybody work more than 55 hours during busy season. You hear all these horror stories where firms,
70
people
hours,
are 70,
yeah.
75 hours. And again, we really analyzed this many years ago and looked back and said, you're burnt out. Just physically, myself saying, and when I hit 65 hours, my
65,
brain.
65? When I hit 20, I'm tired.
Your brain is saying, I can't handle this. So I really said one day to my partner group, we got to stop this. I want what we do for our clients. I want it to be the best of the best. I want to really have a good thought process. I don't want people tired and not really giving it their best. So we cut off after from February 1st to April 15th. They can work no more than 55 hours. So we cut them off. So most of our team works between 50 and 55 hours. And that's, we keep them so that they're healthy. But besides that, they also have to have another life during busy season. So we hire enough people, part-time people, to help us during the busy season to get things done, and we make sure people are fresh or refreshed at least every week so that they do a great job when they look at the tax returns.
Now, but your RBT does taxes for the bigger corporations, right? Or
we do it for the bigger LCs. Corporations, and we do them. People who own those big corporations have to get their tax returns
as well.
And they also have grandmas and mother-in-laws, and they have children, so we have to do all their tax returns as well.
So I could bring you my shoe boxes of receipts and just put them on your desk and say, "Have at it, Tom."
Get
me a refund.
We don't really generally don't take shoe boxes anymore because of technology. You should be able to.
We don't do that. It's a nice shoebox. No? Okay.
Well, as a tip for somebody that does use a preparer, they're going to prepare your return based on time. So if you have your stuff all disorganized and they have to organize it for you, it's going to take longer periods of time. So today with the technology, if you use Quicken or another program that can really summarize all your transactions that you do for you, and that's really just downloading every, month to reconcile your accounts or your credit card accounts, you can really classify those items that are deductible versus those that aren't deductible. And you also can itemize your income. So most of our clients have gotten very good at that. They really do that, and they really get their stuff organized so that when we get it, it's in pretty good shape. That once in a while we got somebody that brings in the shoebox or the grocery bag full
That'd
of receipts,
nice.
And
it'd be a nice shoebox. I'm just saying, I'm busy.
Well, again, the more organized you are, and the more you understand about your own finances, the more successful you're going to be able to be and getting the right investments, number one, getting all the deductions that you're entitled to and why you're entitled to them. Okay, so that process, people who are who really want to know, really sit down and really talk to their advisor and really get educated on what they have to give you, why they have to get it. And even on the investment side, there are great conversations we have with clients is, you know, where are you invested? We get to see everything on a client, you know, from their businesses to their personal investments, to their real estate investments, everything we get to see. So we start to really get a plan together for them to, you know, how to create wealth and how to build, you know, the buckets of wealth for them. So whether it's their business or whether they're investments or whether it's real estate, okay, there's like three buckets that are out there.
Well, I don't think I'm going to be wealthy going the way that I go.
Okay. So, what I've always liked about business, okay, what most people don't get is that if you own your own business, I can grow wealth or you can grow wealth twice as fast as someone who just gets a W-2. And people say, well, how's that possible? I said, well, okay, so you build a business, you get a W-2 from that business, and you also get your 401k, so you're building your retirement program. Okay, like a person who just got W-2, they get a W-2, they get their 401k. You also, generally, if you have a business, you'd either begin to buy the real estate that you're in because you want, you know, it's yours. Okay, so you, now you have real estate as a portfolio. So when at the end of the day, when you retire, I get, well, I got my 401k. Okay, I can sell my business. I'm going to get wealth there. I can also rent my real estate to that business and or sell that real estate to that. So you've built wealth in a much faster pace. Also, with businesses, because of the tax rules, and you know, talking about Donald Trump and his tax return, I guess this week was a big thing, but he takes the deductions that most people who get a W-2 can't take because business owners do get certain deductions that people with W-2s do not get. So he's able to more or less not pay his fair share of tax based on that he's a business. Okay, so and then that's all business owners because there's incentives to be a business owner, to create jobs and to create wealth. So it's kind of an interesting thing that how the tax rules work for that. But so, you know, you get real estate, you have a business to sell, you have a 401k, and you also don't pay as much income tax as a person that just gets a W-2.
And you know what? And also those, you look at those tax brackets and all the different little levels and all the, oh my gosh, who can even pay attention to that? That's why I just put it all in a shoebox and let somebody else do it. Well, we're going to take a little break and when we get back, we're going to kind of give people how they can reach RBT.
Okay.
You'll be listening to Orange Chamber Business Wise and we'll be right back.
Looking for a quick transformation of your tired old room to a new and fascinating room? Why not add or change an area rug and watch your room come to life? Change your rug seasonally to enliven your home life throughout the year. Hi, this is Keith Milspa of Milspa Furniture, Walden, Warwick, and Poughkeepsie, and we have a unique opportunity to help liquidate hundreds of handmade area rugs from a New York City rug dealer. These rugs are all sizes, colors, designs, and prices, so bring in your room colors, patterns, and dimensions so we can help find the perfect rug for you. Invest in a work of art for your floor that will beautify your home and may even significantly increase in value. Also, if you currently own a hand-knotted rug that you want appraised, washed, repaired, or even if you want to sell it, bring us pictures of the front and back of it, and we'll get you an estimate. Spring has sprung, and it's time to make an impactful change to your home with a beautiful handmade rug. That's Milspa Furniture, offering non-disposable furniture and mattresses since 1858.
Mountain Creek Resort, located in Vernon, New Jersey, the most unique wedding and event destination resort in the country. Say I do on a spectacular mountaintop with stunning views, followed by your fantasy reception of up to 260 people and guest accommodations. Mountain Creek Resort, known for impeccable service and delectable cuisine. Whatever the size of your wedding or special event, it'll feel intimate and unique. An event specialist will create a truly magical experience with a special twist in a one-of-a-kind venue, the rustic, elegant ambiance of the Red Tail Lodge. Mountain Creek's your number one destination for skiing, snow tubing, swimming, biking, or simply enjoying the water park. You and your guests will share memorable moments that'll bring you back time and time again. Mountain Creek in Vernon, New Jersey, making your dreams a reality in all four seasons. So call now, 973-827-2000, or visit mountaincreek.com.
Leo Cadis Ford, a family business since 1978. And for the past 40 years, a lot of things have changed at Leo Cadis Ford. But one thing that'll never change, good old-fashioned values and fair pricing. And we're creating a whole new feel, complete with a service drive-through for your convenience. So shop now during our renovation sale and save thousands. So come home to Ford. Leo Cadis Ford, quality you can trust. Check us out at cadis.com or call 986-1131.
Kevin Harvick is trying to do it yet again here at Phoenix.
The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is on the Motor Racing Network.
He is out front by 1 second.
Phoenix master Kevin Harvick and the stars of NASCAR duel in the desert.
Harvick and Dale Earnhardt Jr. in turn one.
The Camping World 500.
There's contact between the top two. They are side by side.
Sunday at 2:30 p.m. on the Voice of NASCAR.
Brought to you every week by Vober Moore Insurance and Dawson Motors.
WTBQ. Good afternoon, and thank you for staying with us. This is Orange Chamber Business Wise. Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Orange County Chamber of Commerce, and I've been talking to Thomas Waddell from RBT CPAs. And RBT is part of the chamber, and you've been a part of the chamber for a long time. And so I kind of want to let people know, how is the chamber and RBT? How are we connected?
All right. Well, again, my chamber experience starts way back in 1978 when I first joined the firm of Vanacore. It was Vanacore to Benedictus and Masterson at that point.
I was a year old.
Yeah, 1978. See that? Yeah. So when I joined the firm, I had asked the managing partner, then was with Joe Vanacore, I want to hang out with people who own businesses. Where do I go to hang out? Mm-hmm. And he said, that's a good question. And he goes, you got to go hang out in the chamber.
Yes.
Right, so I said, okay, well, what's that mean? He goes, well, we're a part of the Orange County Chamber, but then it was a different, it was Orange County Chamber, there was the Eastern Orange and the Chamber.
Right.
Chamber. So there was two chambers, but I was in the one on the Eastern side of the chamber, and that's where I got started to get involved in meeting people who were in business, okay? And so I've always felt...
Which is an exciting world. For people that think that business is boring, it's really not. It's an exciting world when you're in it. It's a totally different culture.
Well, what I've always enjoyed about business, okay, and the chamber is the voice for business, is what I've always enjoyed about it. They're the leaders, and almost all of them are the leaders in the community that are business, and they're risk takers. They're willing to take a risk. They're willing to put it all on the line and go out and make something happen or not make something happen. And that's always fascinated me. And all over the years, I'll be practicing now for 40 years. In 40 years, I can't tell you how much my clients have taught me, although they would tell you that I taught them, but mm-hmm. they've really taught me, because they're really the risk takers, and I see what they do,
right.
And I'm able to leverage off of what they do and help other people do similar type of things with that, how the investments that they invest in, how they invest in real estate, all those things they taught me and why they did the certain things is extremely interesting. So I find hanging out with business people really to be great. And as you become more and more part of the chamber, as you sit on the chamber board, you begin to meet a lot of the CEOs of those businesses, which are really great people to get to know. And again, you get to pick their brain and why they do the things they did and how they became successful. And again, looking after yourself, saying, well, I want to do what they do to become successful. So for me, the chamber has always been about meeting people. To me, business is nothing but relationships. So mm-hmm. the more people you know, the more likely people are going to do business with you if they like you. So to me, it was always about, I want to know as many people as I can, and I want to know people who are in business, primarily that have their own business and all that. So the best place to go for that is at the chamber. Any chamber, really, they have a lot of chambers that we're part of at our firm. Okay, we're in Orange County, naturally here in the Goshen Chamber, the Warwick Hazard Chamber, Dutchess Regional Chamber, the Ulster Chamber, New Paltz Chamber. We've all part of all those, and I have team members that go to all those different chambers to be part of the community again and learn what's going on and to meet business people.
I've never met someone that's been a member to all these chambers. I mean, you must really love being in the chamber.
Well, again, that's where the people that are my customers.
I'm going to have you do a PSA for us. Why do you want to join the chamber? Ask Tom Waddell. He'll tell you why.
They're my potential customers, all of them. And besides getting to know really smart people, so it's really just, to me, it's been great.
I mean, that's really what you have just said is very valuable, only because you've got small business owners that are listening that they don't see the value. They don't get it. They say, well, why should I join a chamber? Well, what's it going to do for me? What is the value? And in here, you've pretty much, in a nutshell, in less than a minute, said exactly what the value is of being part of a chamber.
every banker that there is in the community. So if I need a loan or my client needs a loan, I know every banker in the banking community here in Orange and Dutchess County and in Ulster and in Sullivan County.
Mm-hmm.
I know every attorney. Mm-hmm. So if you're starting a business, I know every attorney. If you're getting trouble in business, I know an attorney that can help you. And they know an accounting firm that can help their customers. So again, the relationships that you build are the team of people. I know every insurance agency there is to know in Orange and Dutchess and Ulster and Sullivan counties. I mean, we know them. So we know how to put you in contact. And the way I know them is through the chamber and getting to know them there. Then after that, going to lunch with them, playing golf with them, and get to know them even more and more. So the chamber really opens that door. You can really get connected to a lot of people. All the politicians that I've met in the area here, or mostly through the chambers, it starts there. And then it goes beyond there, but it starts there. So again, if you want to get involved in business, you should be part of a chamber.
That's an excellent point. Do you have a website? Do you have Facebook? How are you guys connected socially?
Well, we have a LinkedIn page, we have a Facebook page, and we have our website, okay? And it's rbtcpas.com.
Okay. And Facebook is just RBT CPAs?
RBT CPAs, yeah. Okay. And we post, I guess, say she probably posts two, three things a week on there.
Oh, beautiful. Well, hopefully we'll be able to post this. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to grab this last piece and totally sell it to people so they can become members. Talking about networking and getting to know everybody, we got a couple of chamber events that I want to make sure I put out there. They're very important because that's exactly what Thomas Bedell was just talking about. These networks and these chambers, workshops and the chamber university, and these are the things, these are where you're going to meet like-minded people or people that you may benefit from. So, for example, we have coming up on the 22nd of March, there's a St. Patrick's Day mixer, and it's going to be, it's presented by the Young Professionals Committee that's from the Chamber of Commerce, and it's being featuring the Orange County Distillery at Brown Barnes Farm, and it's catered by Mason's Marketplace. So if you're interested in coming and joining the St. Patrick's Day mixer, it's from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Just give us a call at the Chamber at 845-457-9700 or visit our website at orangeny.com. We also have our Facebook page if you want to get more information on that, but make sure to join us for that mixer. Another thing that I want to mention is we have a workshop coming up on Tuesday, March 21st from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It's going to be at the Chamber of Commerce, which is located at 30 Scotts Corners Drive in Montgomery, second floor, Larkin Room. And this workshop is for small business owners, marketers, and consultants. It's called Trademarks. So if you're interested in learning how to brand and rebrand and create labels, tags, packaging, advertisement, collateral, those kinds of things, this is the best place to network and meet people and kind of learn a little bit about that for your business. So make sure to join us. The admission is free for members and non-members, and you can register online at orangeny.com or contact email Erin at erinp@orangeny.com. We also have another workshop that's coming up, and it's being presented by Marshall and Sterling. It's calling all nonprofits and human service organizations. So Nonprofit Thought Leaders Professional Development Workshop Series. That is going to be Wednesday, March 29th at 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's a networking lunch. It's going to be at the Chamber of Commerce, once again, at 30 Scotts Corners Drive in Montgomery. And if you want to join us, it's free for a corporate partner. Members is $15, non-members is $25. The lunch is being catered by Recap's Fresh Start Cafe. And again, erinp@orangeny.com. Or you can always give us a call, 845-457-9700. And I want to round out today, before we end, our membership breakfast. And have you been to many of our membership breakfasts? Oh, gosh. Well, this one that's coming up, it's April 13th. It's going to be at the beautiful West Hills Country Club in Middletown at 7:30 a.m. And this month for April, it's going to be the annual leadership breakfast. The speaker is going to be none other than Brigadier General Timothy J. LaBarge. And this is being sponsored by Walls and Savings Bank. So it is filling up quick. Everybody wants to be at this breakfast. So if you want to get there, you have to pay $25 for members in advance or $35 for members at the door and non-members. You do not want to miss this breakfast. Again, it's going to be April 13th at 7:30 a.m. at the West Hills Country Club. Thank you so much for being here with me today, this afternoon. I hope that everybody got some lessons on tax time and fraud, and I hope they enjoyed our talk, and I hope that you enjoyed being here with us.
I did.
Thank you so much for joining me. You've been listening to Orange County Chamber Business Wise. This is Barbara Martinez, Director of Communications for the Chamber of Commerce, and thank you so much. See you next week.